Nicely with Martin Bester.
Welcome to a Monday morning, 10:07. We're seeing an increase in eating disorders within children. I mean, you know, we've heard about it a lot before, but with adults, but kids, young kids, under 10, unbelievable. And decided to invite a special guest on the show this morning, a clinical dietitian, Tabitha Hume. Tabitha, how are you?
Hi, I'm very well this morning. I'm very impressed that you guys get up this early. Well done.
Debt. gotta work. Now listen, so what is a clinical dietitian?
A clinical dietitian is someone who deals with nutrition and diet with people who not only are healthy and wanting to stay healthy, but more importantly, those who have problems, sicknesses, diseases, and we treat them clinically. So we work with a doctor, psychiatrist, etc. It's different to a nutritionist who helps someone just eat healthily, as it were, but they're not trained to deal with sick people. Yeah. So when it's somebody who's got an actual clinical problem, they come to the dietitian to work with the doctor.
What is a clinical problem? What does it look like?
Clinical problem is, I always just make it easy and say if something's broken. So if somebody has diabetes or they've just had a heart attack or they're clinically obese or in fact have an eating disorder or disordered eating, you need to have a clinical eye to be able to recognize whether there's a problem or whether someone's just being problematic. So as soon as they have a problem, we deal with it from a dietetics point of view, an educative point of view, as well as a nutritional psychiatrist point of view. We work with a psychiatrist, yeah.
But now children.
This is the saddest part.
And their relationship with food. Does social media have a lot to do with it?
Yes. I actually, more than the research, I blame it more than anything because, you know, in this day and age, kids are exposed more to social media than they are to their friends.
Yeah.
I think of when I was little, my norm was what I looked around at in the classroom.
Sure.
I only knew what was normal, so I knew my body size by comparison to them. And in actual fact, as a child, I didn't really notice my body size compared to anybody else or theirs. It wasn't something that was a topic of discussion. It was how good are you at hockey or netball, or you know what class marks do you get? Nowadays, kids are looking at their teenage siblings and looking at their parents and saying, "What are you looking at, Mom? Why are you always eating in a completely different way? Oh, I'm trying to get thin, my boy, or I'm trying to get thin, my girl." And there's the dangerous saying, which is, "I'm trying to get nice and thin," and that's a huge problem. When kids hear that, they think, okay, well, if you're thin, then you might be nice. If you're not thin, you're not nice. And this is properly sickening.
I find the way that the world tries to explain it and the world tries to make sense of it very confusing.
Yeah.
We went from getting it completely wrong to getting it completely wrong.
Yes.
Overcompensating. Body positivity was misunderstood.
Totally.
It became more of a political tool. I'm an adult, clearly. I mean, if I'm battling to make sense of the way we're dealing with it, where are the children?
You've hit the nail on the head.
How do they understand the language?
Yeah.
Because we went from, it's not okay to be overweight.
Yes.
Yeah.
To, it's okay to be overweight. But now that needs that deserves explaining. It's neither is right.
Yeah. So we know that there are health risks associated with someone who is underweight and with someone who is overweight. Those differ in terms of the health problems associated, but the range between those two is actually quite wide.
It's called huge.
Yeah, it really is. So someone should, their ideal weight could be somewhere between 65 and 79. That's the range of BMI for somebody. And they say, well, surely you should be at the bottom end. No. we're looking at health. When somebody comes to see me, I do not look at them from a moral point of view. I don't look at them from an attraction point of view. I look at them and say, is this person going to develop disease? If they're not, please go home. I'll make sure that you're healthy, but go home. If they are prone to disease in some form, then I'll treat them and I'll explain why. But the problem came when it started as a moral issue. Oh, let me be naughty by eating this food. Oh, I've been so good this week. Since when did eating become a moral issue? And that blows my mind.
So we grew up, though, the reward. If you finish all this food with the four different kinds of carbs on your plate, then you'll get rewarded
with more food.
Sugar.
Yes.
And highly refined stuff.
You know, 100%. The reward system is interesting because we do know that certain foods stimulate dopamine in the brain.
Yeah.
And it makes us feel very rewarded and happy. And when we use those things as the sole source of dopamine, then we've got ourselves a problem.
You've got a problem.
But there's another flip side to that, and it's quite interesting. Parents are so adamant not to do the reward system that they end up giving the kid really, really healthy food, and the child doesn't want that food. So they say, I'm too full, I don't want you, because it's kind of boring sometimes, but you know what? It's very necessary, like your veggies. Oh, my darling, you haven't finished. I'm not going to force you. That's fine. An hour later, the kid's having toast and jam.
Got you.
So there is a little bit of a problem there with, you know, parenting should get back to you. Finish what hangs on your plate. You're damn lucky to have a plate of food in front of you, actually. So, you know, suck it up and keep quiet.
There are so many things to touch on. The language we use as adults in front of children when it comes to their awareness around their own bodies, our bodies, the way we describe food. There's obviously a conversation needs to happen about food. Any questions from your side? Tabitha Hume is a clinical dietitian. We're speaking this morning specifically, I mean, you can very welcome to come back and talk about adults, also talk about issues. but this morning we're going to focus specifically on children and why there is such an increase of children being hospitalized for eating disorders and being diagnosed with actual eating disorders. Dit is 'n groter en groter probleem. Wat gaan aan? 084-850-0942. Our guest on the show this morning is a clinical dietitian. And we're talking about the rising cases of eating disorders, especially with children into adolescence. Does social media play a role? Absolutely. Pop culture, yes. But also we touched on it now, the language that we use around children and young people, referring to food. You mentioned it there. You said when we say it's nice and thin, and we are talking about, you know, rewarding yourself with a bad meal. You've been good. So now you've been so good, you're allowed to have a pizza. It's if we had to erase everything we know and all the words that we use to describe food, we'll probably be better off.
100%. It's not like I'm saying, oh, I've been such a good girl that I'm allowed to now go and have a holiday in Michalisburg. It's not an allowed thing. Everything, all food fits. You know, you've got to be able to know that when you have, like Mom said when I was little, you just got sensible food at home. You know, it's highly nutritious. It's good for the body. The body needs it. Needs a lot of nutritious food. And you just get on with it as long as it's balanced. That requires a little bit of guidance. It certainly doesn't mean cutting out food groups like cutting out proteins or cutting out carbs or cutting out anything. It means a well-balanced meal. And then on the weekends, everyone is prone to having a bit of a relax. That's great. You know, you just enjoy yourself. But it's not like the rest of the day you have to starve so you can have a pizza. And that's what people are becoming obsessed with the macros and the calories. And they're counting calories. And there is an app online, which is something PAL. And as dietitians, we go mad. If somebody is on that and they're counting calories on that app, we know they're headed for an eating disorder. They'll become obsessed. Yeah. It's one of the highest rates of eating disorders that comes out of that because they become obsessed with calories.
Wow.
And it's quite interesting because the human body's calorie expenditure changes by about 500 calories a day.
Yeah.
So by saying you need 1,922 calories per day is absolute
because you might need phone
rubbish.
In more or less 100%. Changing day by day.
Obviously, it depends what you do.
Yeah, yeah, and also it depends on the ambient pressure. It depends on your cycle, depends on your mood. It massive amounts of change in metabolic expenditure, yeah.
What other language do you adults use that's confusing to children and that causes problems?
Okay, so, excuse me, a lot of parents say, no, we don't touch sugar in our house. Cokes will kill. You can't have fizzy drinks, they'll kill you. They're, you know, all of this extreme language. You'll find dietitians saying, okay, if you get off the paddle court, have a Coke if you want to. It's absolutely fine, but we're saying don't have 2 liters a day. We're saying sugar is absolutely fine if you add it to an otherwise very healthy diet. Saying that things are totally eliminated is bad language. It's demonizing food. It's making food scary. And kids listen to that, see a can of Sprite and think, geez, I'm never going to do that again because that is worse than a cigarette for me. You know, they're terrified. So demonizing food is so bad. And there's a lot of social media people who are demonizing food. They are fear-mongering. And people listen to this and say, oh my gosh, I'll never touch gluten again. It's so bad for you. It is responsible for cancer. Absolute rubbish. But people believe this. And kids are listening to this and thinking, geez, it's a minefield out there. I'm now scared of food.
I sometimes listen to some parents and the way that they describe their children's eating habits. And I think to myself, I don't think it's the child. A child cannot be that fussy at five or seven.
I find convenience is a problem for parents.
Father.
They're busy. An average parent gets home at 5, 6 in the evening. Mm-hmm. You've got to have dinner ready. You've got to do the lunchbox. And you're going to buy the convenient things. I have to make an extra effort to make sure that the stuff, particularly for the snack drawer, quote unquote, is more healthy than normal.
Listen, talk to me about this whole snacking thing. I'm hearing this word a whole lot with children. When did that start? When did this whole planning for snacking and all that kind of stuff? Where did that come in?
I think for us particularly, I remember growing up and there were snacks, but my snacks was an apple and orange. So if I said to my mom, I'm hungry, in between, let's say, the big meals, she would say, well, there's an apple there or there's a banana there. It wouldn't be there's a packet of chips or whatever, but my snacks were healthier in general.
Yeah, it's to do with the rise of finances, quite frankly. More people are able to afford more, and as a result, they are happier to keep things that are treats in olden day times that were had at birthday parties on a Saturday. Yeah. But kids are available, it's available for kids to have on a daily basis. And quite frankly, somebody under the age of 16 is not old enough to control their own impulses. At 16, well, at 10, I would have happily had a chocolate milkshake and a brownie for breakfast. I would definitely have had KFC for lunch. I'm probably not supposed to say, brand names. But, and of course, I'd want a pizza for supper with something afterwards, ice cream afterwards. That's a child. They listen to their instincts because those are dopamine stimulating. They make you feel amazing. So, of course, a child's going to do that. So it's a parent's job to say, no, we don't do those. Those are treats. They're expensive. We're going to keep them for the weekend. But unfortunately, like you say, there's a treats drawer. We never had that growing up. If
that's
you were
I'm
hungry,
asking.
You had...
Because I hear it a lot. Even when I have socials at my house and there are a lot of kids coming through, I have a parent saying to me, now remember, for the snacks... Like, what are you talking about? The children or the parents? The children. You go buy this there and go buy that there, and there's this. Like, who are these children? Are they royalty? what is happening?
Yeah,
Child comes to me at my house and says, I'm hungry, I'm like, okay, we are an hour away from the braai. Lies. can I offer you an apple?
Yeah.
This particular brand, and then there's a string of things, and then there's a little unicorn. Like, what
sweeties
the hell
and chips.
Happening? Yeah. Like, no wonder the children have a warped sense of eating.
Exactly. And people were saying, oh, well, she likes a treat after supper.
The child.
Where's the treat?
The child cannot even speak now anymore.
Yeah.
The parents
is now telling you so-and-so loves their little whatever after. Like, is the child ill?
But also,
are we
does
dealing
the mother,
the patient?
Yeah, but does the mother think about what that's doing to the child? There are many, many times when that's almost verging on neglect, in my opinion, because it's all about being the popular parent. And, oh, well, my child also likes to, you know, have a little bit of dacha sometimes. So, you know, it makes her relax nicely.
After they had this, then they would like this. And then after that, they love, well, you know what?
Be the parent. Stop it.
It's a lot. 0848500942. There are questions coming in. I don't want to run out of time. So please keep them coming. We are our special guest on the show this morning, Tabitha Hume. She's a clinical dietitian, specifically is talking about eating disorders, the growing problem of eating disorders within children and adolescents, teenagers. 084-850-0942.
You're with your own family. Breakfast with Martin Bester.